You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
That's not true. That's impossible.
You're listening to Making Tracks and a very special episode as Paul McHugh heads to Capital Sci-Fi Con in Edinburgh, an event that raises funds for vulnerable children in Scotland via the CHAZ charity. To listen to Artie Shaw and Jimmy V discuss their time in the Star Wars galaxy on the sequel trilogy. So here's Jimmy and Artie talking all things Star Wars on a very special episode of Making Tracks.
Artie Shaw and Jimmy V.
Right, for those of you who were here maybe yesterday, fear not, I have a whole new set of questions just to put these two through their paces. So, first and foremost, thank you very much for joining us again, guys. Wonderful to see you.
Thank you.
And here to share your stories and anecdotes with the audience here at Capital Sci-Fi. So, without further ado, because I got told off yesterday for taking too long, so we'll get straight into it. So, the first question I have for you is, with our industry continually changing, do you find that working a lot on green screen can be quite a challenge?
100%, especially with AI right now, it's taken a lot of work away, and the strikes were obviously for a good cause, but it's going to be, I think, a bit more difficult times ahead, and that's where actors like ourselves who do a lot of creature work, etc., where we have to stick together and, you know, make sure, you know, contracts are 100% and things like that.
It's because now, we, over the last, 2 years, they've done the 3D scans on us, where we go into a room, you know, and they put you at a desk, and they've got, a million cameras, so the cameras all flash.
Oh, the scanning, yes.
So, basically, we're just standing there, and they scan the full body, so they don't need us. They can CG it, or AI it, whatever they want.
So, they give you, for all intents and purposes, you have one kind of full body scan, and then that's you done, and then they can just go and use you.
They put us in the centre of that table.
Yeah.
And this room has got cameras
all around it.
In a circle. Mm-hmm. And you just stand there, and the guy presses a button, and it's.
And that can be your input for one project. Just
that's it.
So you're often scanned in the creature or character that you're playing, and they can then use that scan in post-production and place you wherever they need you to be. So, which often means in, you know, when it comes to doing reshoots or they need you again, they're not having to pay for you to go in again. They've got your image, they've got your character in costume, etc.
See, that's interesting because that's impressive in terms of the advance of technology, right? But what it means for you as an actor and a performer is that a job that might have taken 2 or 3 weeks is now only taking a matter of hours. Yeah, two minutes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as for you as a self-employed performer, you're then only working for one day.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, if they want to change the character, they'll phone up, say, can you come down, we put you in the character. We go down, climb into the suit.
Yeah.
Right? You don't go and set, you don't do nothing. You go in, put you in the table.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's it. You're never seen again.
Like I say, it's interesting in terms of the advancement of technology, isn't it? But it is also quite a frightening kind of prospect for the future in terms of our business. And that's why, of course, we had the recent strikes. Of course, that was a lot to do with, especially over in America. So, well, thank you for that, guys. That's really interesting. Okay, shifting tact a little bit. Recently, have you seen any performances in theatre or film or television that has moved you? I mean, apart from your own performances, obviously.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Basically, again, I don't know about that, but I find things in theatre and that are also changing now. You know what I mean? For years we used to do Snow White and all that, where you came in. I told the story.
Oh, you mean like for pantomime and things like that? Yeah.
I told the story, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. You start off at the castle, you get through, you live here, you bring in here, you do this, do that. Now, I'd done one there just at Christmas, and I was on stage for 25 minutes and a Snow White story, and that was it. You seen us? We came in, introduced ourselves, disappeared, came back, done our next scene, off, and that was the end of it. So even that is getting shorter now. Yeah. They don't even need you in that. Yeah. They just tell their story, the Snow White story, you know what I mean? And it's only enough to show you that Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, and then goodbye. That's it. Everything just seems to be, we don't need you, we don't need this, we don't need that. And again, in my opinion, because as she says, AI and that, it's just going to be, you go to theatre now, and it'll just be a big screen, and the full thing will be on screen. You know what I mean?
It won't be theatre, it'll be a film. Yeah.
That's it.
What about you, Ari?
I remember an emotion recently, something I've seen. I can't remember whether it was a film or TV series, and I remember crying, but I'm really sorry, I cannot remember what it was, but I remember the emotion. I was sitting there and I literally had tears. It was something new, something either streaming or a film, I'm not sure. I'm really sorry, but I do,
no,
I was in tears.
Well, thankfully something, it moved you at least, yeah. So that makes it memorable.
Hello, my name is Aidan Cook and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
Obviously you guys have done quite a few conventions now over the years. Are you still surprised by people's reactions? Does it still kind of take you aback? Because obviously, like I say, you've done a lot of conventions, and you like this one this weekend, and you meet lots of fans of various franchises you've been in. But do you still find it quite surprising, the reactions that people will have?
I do, because often I'm hidden inside a creature suit, motion capture, CGI, and people, they're like, oh my God, that's you. Yes, it's me. I'm usually hidden away, but every time the reaction that I get from people seeing, so these are the characters that you've played. This is why I love coming to conventions and, you know, and then explaining how these characters are literally brought to life as well.
That's what I'm saying. It's, as you say, it's like R2 there. You're inside it. Some people still don't believe there's somebody inside it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was just a robot. Well, it is, but the only thing is, I'm the jelly bit inside the tin.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I mean, that's, you know, you are part of such an iconic character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's I would imagine sometimes that might be a blessing and a curse.
Again, you know, I've heard stories, whether they're true or not, but I have heard that...
It is a robot.
I know, yeah.
It is a robot.
But I've heard the
Jimmy,
guys...
how can you be in two places at once?
It's trick camera.
Trick camera. There's loads of mirrors.
But the thing about it is, I've heard now, right, whether it's true or not, the guys that are making these further films now, they're not even wanting you inside it, right? They want to be the ones that's controlling it. Like, I mean, the guy up the back there, he's controlling it. Fair enough, that is his robot, he can control it. But what they're trying to do now is, the ones that are getting into the films we are, they're trying to put springs and things in it that makes it do what we've got to do. So they don't need us, and then they go, this film, such and such, controlled by John or whatever. You know what I mean? Nobody inside it. So it's a situation, you don't know if you're just trying to get pushed out now for them to do their own or different. I mean, the likes of these, they're brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
They're brilliant. But as I say, at the end of the day, when that's on film, if there's, as Kenny would say, if there's nobody inside it, it's got no soul.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing you have to remember.
It's just a robot that the guy's working there.
Yeah.
If there's somebody inside it, you've got soul in it.
Yeah.
Where you can feel it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a strange situation now.
So, another question along a similar line. With the difficulty of getting into this industry in the first place and then maintaining your presence in it, did you ever feel challenged when you were starting out?
Yeah, for me, it's always been a challenge because of the stereotypical roles and auditions that I'm often asked to audition for. and that's still a big challenge. And you know, as much as I want to earn the money, I'm having to turn work down, and I don't think the challenge is going to go away for a long time.
So you mean attitudes have changed, but not enough?
Not enough. Not no, enough. And it's often I feel a tick box, a diversity tick box, you know, with the intention of getting a person to do that job, but it's a quota, so you know, it might be just for paperwork purposes. Not
yeah, and you'd
genuine.
Rather mm-hmm. and you'd rather be there on your own talent.
Absolutely,
and merit.
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, they are changing. I mean, if you watch these soaps and TV and that, there is a lot more disabled people coming in. You've got the guy in Emmerdale, you've got the ones in EastEnders, Coronation Street. They are bringing them in, but they're coming slowly. You know what I mean? They are changing. I think it's they've discovered now that, okay, there is people with difficulties and such we need to bring in, but they're only bringing them in when they want. You know what I mean? It's like, if something goes wrong, like Black Lives Matter comes out, that happened. What happened? You got a lot of black guys and people coming into films. The girl, I don't know, I can't remember her name, you know, the one that does CBeebies, that with the one arm?
Yep.
She yep. came in.
Yep.
She came in. Now, that girl, if I remember right, came in a few years back and they sacked her because they made out that it was scaring people on TV, children, because she only had one arm. But as you see, she's back again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's held her own yeah, to yeah. come back.
Which, well, it's important as well, isn't it? Because it especially for kids, you know, like I work a lot in kids' TV, and I think what's really important in that situation is that if you'll pardon the expression, it normalises it for children.
Yeah, I you know, understand.
So that they don't even bat an eyelid.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, I mean, that's the way we all should be, right? That's mm-hmm. the innocence
I mean,
of children.
I've been in shopping centres, and people come around with their kids. Now, in my opinion, I don't care what you call me. You can call me what you like, say what you like. It doesn't bother me, right? But what gets me is when you're in a shop and the mother's coming round with the kids. Now, bear in mind, some of the kids are only two or three. They haven't had a clue. They've never seen nothing in their life. And they walk around and go, oh, mum, look, wee man. What's the first thing mother does? Shut up. Why?
Yeah.
The kid's only seeing what it sees.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not being nasty. It's not being nothing.
No.
It's never seen.
No.
So it's automatically just going to say, oh, look, hey, wee man. But the mother's slap. What are you slapping the kid for? You know what I mean? If the kid comes up, you talk, you can have a laugh. You know what I mean? You don't need to say, oh, shh, or it's, oh, this way. No, turn and try to take them away.
I suppose that's the beauty of the innocence of children, isn't it?
I done one, I went to a shop one day, and again, it was a mother and a wee boy, and the wee boy came around the corner, and he's looking at me, and he's giving it a laugh, right? You know, he had sweets and toys. And I'm like, are they mine? So the wee guy started laughing, joking with me. His mother comes round and she's starting watching him. She's going, you know, that's the first time he's ever spoke to anybody different. You know what I mean? She's, it's like, he's in his element. And every time I went round an aisle, if he would show out the other end, he's like, ha ha. And I'm like, all right, wait, what you got me now? And he goes, nothing. I go, you've got a pile of sweeties? Nah, they're mine. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
This is that. Let the children speak up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're entitled to speak up.
Absolutely. Until they get to know you, Jimmy.
Aye,
then of course,
once they
know you, then they'd run a mile.
Then they can say to you.
Listen, of course, we're here in front of a whole lot of fans. So, on that, what about you guys? Were you fans of any of the franchises before, or indeed after you were part of them?
Star Wars fan, no doubt.
Jimmy?
No, I was never really a fan of nothing much. As I said yesterday, I was the nut job of the guy. Give me fast cars, give me motorbikes, something stupid. That was my game, you know what I mean? But what can I say? I've ended up all the way through everything. So at the end of the day, I've got the T-shirt.
It's a shame you're not selling the T-shirts.
Aye, I know. Well, one of the other conventions we go to, the right guys comes here and sells them, but I'm fed up listening to them because all you ever hear is it glows in the dark. You know what I mean? That's your kind. They're done with something that it glows in the dark. And not only does he just say, oh, it glows in the dark, if the stand there really gets his forehead showed you, glowing, you know, and you're like, oh, Jesus.
Okay, how about, as a final question before we open it up to our lovely audience, in terms of working in this industry, have you ever come across any kind of difficulties being on set? And I don't mean from, you know, from in terms of your physicality, I just mean generally, have you come across any weird and wonderful incidents? Have you, you know, any anecdotes or tales to tell?
Quite a few, but I don't think we can talk about some of them.
Okay, yeah, family friendly, right, okay, what about you?
When we were filming in Abu Dhabi for The Force Awakens, they did tell us about sandstorms, and nothing actually prepares you for a sandstorm. You know, it's like, 1 minute you can see everything, next minute you cannot see anything at all. And, you know, they just had to kind of dust everything off. Camera lenses had to be covered up and protected really quickly. And I think it was just a whole new experience. Quite exciting at the same time.
And how long did the sandstorm last?
It was so quick. Like, right. You know, like, now you see, now you don't.
Yeah.
You know, just like that. But, yeah.
But when it was there, it just engulfed everything.
It just
shows up at any time.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, you could just be sitting here and the next thing, goodbye.
Yeah. But it literally covers everything, and everything, the whole all filming and everything grinds to an absolute halt.
Yes.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Okay, well, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to, courtesy of our wonderful microphone here at the front of the stage, we're going to open it up to you guys. So please come forward, don't be shy, and ask our wonderful guests some questions. Oh, Graham.
Hi, sorry. You look for John Boa in Attack of the thing, the thing one. So then years later, you work with my then Star Wars. So what's the difference between him back then and Star Wars now?
The old series for the new series.
What's the difference?
No, wait. With John Boa, you worked with him in Attack the Block.
Yes.
Then years later, you worked in Star Wars. So,
okay.
So what's the difference working with him between then and now?
So, Attack the Block was practical effects. I was literally in the suit. Same thing with Star Wars. I'm in a lot of creature suits, so there isn't any difference. But you know, with all films in post-production, there is an element, you know, of CGI, etc. But in Star Wars more, the budget is a lot bigger, obviously, than as it was in Attack the Block. And there's lots of elements of motion capture and depending on what characters are being done. But the practical effects, I would say, are the same that they were in Attack the Block to Star Wars current day. They're still very heavily focused on practical effects. The only films would be the prequels, where it was more focused on, you know, CGI, because it was the new technology to use.
And were you also asking about John Boyega? So I think he was also asking about John Boyega. So obviously you worked with him in two very different films.
My gosh,
and
yes.
Did you notice a difference? Was there a big difference in him as a person,
no,
as a performer,
no.
Or was he exactly the same?
Sorry, yes. So he was still very much grounded as a human being, an actor, a performer, and his performance, you know, his energy was the same, and he still gave, like, okay, this is a really important job to me. You know, obviously Star was so much bigger. His ethos, his ethic, etc., was still the same. The only difference was that he had an American accent in Star Wars.
Thank you for your question. Thank you, Graham. Anyone else? Please do feel free to step forward and ask a question. That's what we're here for. That's what these guys are up here to do. So, come on. You must have a question to ask. Here we go. Don't be shy.
That's what it's like, trouble.
So I'm sure you get asked a lot what your favourite creature was to play. What's the worst creature you've had to play and why?
There aren't any, because then I won't work again in this industry. I love all of them.
Contractually, she's obliged to say that.
I wouldn't say I had the worst one, but Some of you might remember, I don't know if you remember, the TV series Weird Sister with Felicity Jones when she was a kid. We done that one many moons ago, and I played a gargoyle. Again, I was in a prosthetic suit, but it was in the middle of June, July, when really warm weather. So stupidly, on a break, and I had to suit up, I sat outside with nothing on, in the sunlight, and then when the guy said we're ready to go, I went, I haven't got the suit on. So when he put the suit on again, I was fine. We shot the scene for the next 3-4 hours. But at the end of the night, the guy came up and he's like, let's get you out of this. So when he opened his suit, right, I could hear him going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And he stopped and I'm like, what's up? I can't take this off you. I'm like, what? He said, I can't take this off. I said, look, just open it and take it off. He says, I really can't. He says, because the sunlight had burned you, the skin was sticking to the inside of the suit.
Ow.
Right? And I'm like, well, I'm not bloody sitting in this for the rest of the day, you know? He's like, but I can't. I says, I'll tell you what, I think it was like, we'll say a Savlon or a hand cream. He says, I'll pour that in the suit. So then to pour it all in the suit and let it sit for a couple of minutes, and then it just peeled.
But it had stuck to your skin because you'd burnt yourself in the sun.
Aye,
and then the skin was kind of healing.
The skin was actually stuck inside the suit.
Ouch. Now, that's very different from pulling off the plaster, right? Pulling off a band-aid.
Aye.
That's going to hurt a lot more.
Aye. But the funny thing about it was, for some reason, I never felt it.
It's probably because you're too busy thinking about sunburn.
I don't know if it was just because of being in the suit and the sweat was enough,
yeah.
You know what I mean, to loosen the skin,
yes,
and let it come. But I mean, the guy, he was petrified to open it. You know, he was really shit himself.
That puts a whole new side to suffering for your art.
It does. It
there
does,
you go.
Yeah.
Now, please come on forward. Don't be shy. These guys are only here. Oh, here we go. Another question. Thank you.
I don't know if you've answered this before, but how did you get in the suit?
Were they put in their suits in the first place?
How did they get in
the suits?
Yeah.
It depends on which ones. I mean, you've got some that are, we'll say like after, where they can open it and just put you in it. Other ones like myself and Artie, with the latex, you've got to strip off, right? And then they'll put you in a suit. But they've glued it. It's got to be glued in certain areas. I mean, Doctor Who ones, all the creatures, things are glued, and every part of the face is glued on. You know what I mean? It takes 3-4 hours.
It's not any glue, though. It's special glue.
Aye.
And
yeah, it's not Prick Stick.
No. Prick Stick won't work.
No, if they get away with it. But sometimes. But it takes 3-4 hours for them to glue that.
But that's on your prosthetics you've got on your face.
Yeah.
But when you're wearing like
a suit
in your body, is that, are you wearing like a leotard or lycra underneath?
And there's then lycra underneath, and then you know, if you're wearing gloves with your costume, they put talcum powder in the gloves so you can put them on quite easily and take them off. But, you know, some of the suits, they're not just getting in and out. There's lots of elements. There's feet that go on.
Aye.
There's sometimes, you have, like, not just a lycra suit, but it's got built-in padding to make your belly bigger, your bum bigger, your thighs bigger. So when you're in it, it's not just a human that's walking. It gives you a different shape, which makes you walk differently, which is the purpose of the character. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a massive padded suit mm-hmm. on. And then the clothes go on top. Sometimes there's like 3-4 layers of clothing and then the accessories. And it's, you know, it can take up to 20 minutes, half an hour getting dressed sometimes as well.
And then they'll bring in the hands and the feet, which they've got to try and put over the top. And then they glue that.
Yeah.
So basically, once they glue it, again, you're stuck.
Yeah.
That's you, you're inside and you stay inside.
Once you're in, you're in.
You're in,
yeah. Yes. Thank you very much for your question.
Hello, I'm Dennis Lawson. And you're listening to Fanthatrax.
It's the last panel of the weekend. You can ask these guys anything you like. I mean, within reason. Oh, here we go. Thank you.
I just want to say how great it is that there's more disabled actors on TV now. How do you feel about normal, ordinary people playing disabled actors? Maybe not have said that the right way, but...
I know what you mean. Again, for an instance, let's just say the new Willy Wonka film, right, the Wonka film, there's been a kick up about that.
Oh, that's about Hugh Grant playing
the Oompa Loompas. It's like you say, they've got all these small people out there that's played it for years, then what happens? Hugh Grant, oh, I want to be the Oompa Loompa. So what do they do? Put his face, but you know the Oompa Loompa, it could be any one of us. It's our bodies. You know what I mean? They have took these scans and just put his face on it and made it there. So again, this is what one of the stints was about. And we don't know what's going to happen, you know?
I think a lot of the industry, it's a money-making business. So obviously, they're going to get names that sell money, that make money, that, you know, will sell the project. But there's also, you know, yes, actors that are often in wheelchairs. There's not many actors of short stature which have actually made it into Hollywood. We've got Peter Dinklage, we've got Warwick Davis, but there aren't many, and there's still a lot of work to be done within representation. But, you know, I know that there are films which have had actors in wheelchairs, and also Eddie Redmayne, for example, but he's a fantastic actor. It's a name that sells. There's a long way to go. But, you know, everybody's got a voice and they're using it in the right way. And, you know, we have to prove ourselves a lot harder that we are able to do the job. You know, it's not easy to rock up to an open audition, you know, and say, OK, because directors have often written the part. Yeah, they've got somebody in mind. And there's a long way to go. I think we'll get there one day. It's not going to happen overnight.
No, unfortunately, I would imagine that, you know, and all these things, change happens, but it takes time. And in a weird way, the pendulum has to swing so far before it can swing back. And yeah. I think and hope that representation will not have to be a thing. Do you know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
And like
it'll just be, someone will just be hired on their merits, and their merits alone. Yeah. You know, like you mentioned Peter Dinklage, you know, yeah. Peter Dinklage is very famous, but he is an actor of short stature, but he's now hired not because of his stature,
of his ability,
but just because of his ability. That's what you hope it to be about. Yeah. Thank you very much for your question. Ladies and gentlemen, before we wrap this up, we have one final question. Yes, please, thank you.
Hi, I was just wondering, what's coming up for you next then? Anything new that you can tell us about?
For me, I have got like 3 small short films coming up. But again, because of the strikes and such, we've got to hang on. So they're reckoning probably April, May time we'll start coming in again and we can get them finished. But again, it's myself playing myself. You know what I mean? I think one's a horror film, one's something else. One's where I play a crazy, I would say I play a short version of Gordon Ramsay in a hotel as a crazy Scottish chef. But again, we've got to wait until the guys can go ahead and get it done. Yeah,
everything's been delayed by a significant amount of months, hasn't it? As a result of the strike. Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. What about you, Harry?
So I've got a well-known TV series coming out that I'm involved in. A film coming out this year as well. Obviously, you're not going to recognise me again. I've just finished a book which I'm pitching out. Next time you'll see me, hopefully you'll hear about it. And I do a lot of motivational speaking as well, so I've got a lot coming up for International Women's Day and a lot to do with diversity and inclusion, so throughout the year. That's me. Yeah.
Great. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We do hope that you have enjoyed all the panel talks this weekend, and most importantly, thank you for coming, thank you for buying tickets. Thank you for supporting Chaz and the families that Chaz support. So on behalf of Children's Hospices across Scotland, thank you so much for coming this weekend. We hope you've all enjoyed it. And please give a round of applause to our guests this afternoon,
thank you.
Jimmy and Ari. Thank you.
If you want to be part of the action, visit fanthatrax.com or be sure to comment, like and share on our social media feeds at Fanthatrax. Send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatrax.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatrax intro, Adam O'Brien for our making tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings, 9 o'clock UK, 4 PM Eastern, 1 PM Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And check out our Fanthatrax Radio Friday night rotation every Friday at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Layer, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks, and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks. And remember, Fanthatrax.com, our social media feeds, Fanthatrax TV and Fanthatrax Radio are absolutely free! So no Patreon, Buy Me A Coffee, Kickstarter or Indiegogo required to stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news.
Until we catch up with you again, may the Force be with you.
Coming up next on Fanthatrax Radio, it's another episode of Making Tracks.